Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hour number two here on WEEI Afternoons. On a Tuesday afternoon, 3 o'clock, that means Ted Johnson's
hey,
here.
Hey, what's up, boys?
How we doing?
Hey, Ted.
Ted's in a vest. I got made fun of the other day when I said I was going to ask for a vest for Christmas.
Why is that?
Who made fun of you for that?
My son.
Oh. I was like, I don't remember making fun of you for that.
But is he just not thinking, well, it's not a you thing. You've never worn vests.
So maybe.
He doesn't think it'd look good on you because you've never worn one. But you know what?
Vests are the best.
You know what? I like them. I like my chest being warm.
Well, that's
I like my arms kind of being out, right? Everybody see my arms?
Yes, we see
but
your arms.
My chest is warm. Arms out, chest warm.
Yeah, no, I don't like jackets, but then sometimes I'm like,
oh,
get a chill. And so now I can have just a vest to throw on and go.
That's a great story. Favorite things, like, what would you call it? What am I trying to say? But you like, I love, like, I like a nice watch. I like nice shoes, but I like a nice jacket, like
a light jacket,
not a heavy jacket, just like a nice light jacket. I'm a big fan of those types of jackets.
So, do you wear a jacket over a vest?
I will if it's cold out, Bubba.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If I get one for Christmas, I'll get the advice on where the vest is appropriate.
Well, why don't you tell Deirdre or tell Jackson or Sydney to give me a call, and I'll help guide them into what they need to get.
That's probably the way to go.
I'm not sure their purchasing power is in your area.
But there's good, I don't know. L.L. Bean, you go there, right?
Yeah sure. I mean,
J. Crew, J. Crew gets the job done sometimes.
I want to look normal. I don't want to look like the guy with the freaking hat
thousands.
At the Celtics. I don't want to look, this guy got a vest to show off his vest kind of, no bucket hat kind
of. I don't think anybody's going to see you wearing a vest and think all of a sudden you're that guy.
Okay, perfect.
Right. Stand ball. You need to have them call Ted for like style tips, and then I'll point him to which TJ Maxx or Marshalls they can get it at.
There you go.
Perfect. All right, it's 3 o'clock. It's time for the 3-point stance. Stiz, wake up.
Here we go.
Green 19.
There we go.
Just count to three.
That's three!
Three shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three. It's good!
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
Johnson scores! Ties it 3-3!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or your family is bullying you out of buying a vest, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. Three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. In lieu of Andy Hart leading off, we're going to mix up the order a little bit today. Because I'm so eager to hear a little bit of baseball talk on this program after hours and hours of Patriots talk. Nick Fitzy-Stevens, are you ready today?
I am honored. I'm flattered to get a chance to bat leadoff for the 3-point stance.
Well, I am flattered to give you 60 seconds for your opening stance. Go right ahead.
Okay, let's think back to the 2021 postseason, I believe. It was E-Rod walking off the mound, pointing at his wrist. Tick-tock, tick-tock. That's right. Now, 4 years later, I'm pointing at my wrist, tick-tock, tick-tock, because time is a-flying. And I won't necessarily time is a-wasting, Red Sox, but we all got the notification last week that free agency done begun. And where are you guys at? What's going on? Please feel free to make some moves anytime soon. Now,
anytime.
I understand. Please. I mean, it's crazy, Ted, because while the biggest move thus far that's been made has been Josh Naylor and his five-year deal for $92.5 million, there is so much opportunity for the Red Sox to take advantage of out there. We've heard stories from Passan about how the Twins are likely to deal one of their aces and that the Red Sox are likely to deal either Duran or Abreu. They may want Polanco from the Mariners if Alex Bregman goes. We all know that Boris takes his time, which may mean that it's time to say fare thee well, Bregman, and hello, Jorge. Tristan Casas could get traded. Pete Alonso and his wife are begging to move down the street from Dan Ball and Quincy. Before anyone else takes action, Red Sox, build your team of the future and build it now. Let's go.
I'm with you, Fitzy. Just it never gets going this early.
No.
Never get. It's like that. It's like nobody wants to make the first move, the first big move.
Right. Like, isn't Seattle the only one that's really done anything? And they re-signed their own player. They didn't go out and acquire somebody
A lot of it is they, you know, teams want to see what other teams do to set the market at certain positions, you know.
And don't they have to get to? So the GM meetings are done. Now they need to get to the winter meetings.
Right.
Totally different meeting than the first meeting.
Two or three weeks from
December
now.
December 8th through 11th. So we got about three more weeks before I think things really start to click.
There's nothing that says you can't. Like, Dan, I think it was you who said, hey, where's the legal tampering period of MLB free agency, which is when things start to happen, you know, in the NFL? Like, no one says you can't be aggressive and set the market yourself now, Ted. Like, please, if Styles make fights, go ahead and say that you're going to take the fight to free agency and be aggressive this offseason.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. It's kind of like free agency starts really soon after the season's over.
It's a little weird, yeah.
So, like, unlike football where the season starts, you know, the last game is in February, and then, well, and then free agency starts, well, in March.
Mid-March.
So
it's 5 weeks. It's 5 weeks after, whereas this is like two.
Right, so it's a little bit shorter. But, yeah, you know what? It's just historically, they should make free agency literally just a week long.
Absolutely.
And so you have to have your deals done by, you know, in this 1 week.
I also wonder, so clearly no one's doing anything. But if you just went to Pete Alonso, Fitzy, let's pick Pete Alonso.
My guy.
And if Breslow just said, listen, we'll give you 4 years, $400 million. I'm just throwing a stupid number out there. Are they going to be like, well, you know, we're not quite ready yet. We're gonna wait. Like, if you could made a guy an offer he couldn't refuse, I think he would take it.
Yep.
So if you really want to be aggressive, get ahead of the curve, let everybody else slow play it. You fast play it. Go get somebody. Be aggressive. But I'm with you, Fitzy, because every day I read another one of these. I think it was Jeff Passan today on ESPN. You read these stories about, oh, yeah, Alonso and the Red Sox or this guy. And, like, they get you excited. Like, you're getting hot and bothered, and then you're like, but nothing's going to happen for two, three weeks.
Yeah. So, you know, they paid. So here's a perfect for example. Last year, they paid Bregman $40 million, right? A massive overpay, as we find out. And he turns down two more years at $40 million apiece so he can go pursue what Spotrac says will likely be a 5 or 6 year deal at $27 million apiece. Okay, that's great. Meanwhile, Bradfo tells us that the Red Sox are showing interest, legitimate interest, in Bo Bichette, who is apparently supposed to get $23 or $24 million a year for anywhere between 5 and 8 years. Go ahead. What's stopping you? If that's what it is, you can up the offer by 10%. You can afford it. We're going to buy the hot dogs and the overpriced Sam Adams and everything else and buy the City Connect jerseys to make sure that it's fully funded. John Henry in one pocket has enough money to buy Bo Bichette. Go get him and set the market and dictate the terms of the 2026 season yourself.
Fitzy, you know what gets these front office guys off? I mean, off is a good deal. That's what gets them off. That's what really
just
stirs their blood.
Marshalls.
And to overpay early in the process is just the Red Sox, who are 12th in spending. They're not just. I mean, that's what the Dodgers do. That's what the Mets do. You know, the Yankees used to. They don't do that. But, you know, it just I hear you, bro. I hear you. Those days are done. Overpaying just because you have more money than everybody else. I just think they're more frugal than they've ever been.
I hate that. The whole deal part, no one cares about the contract if the guy's good. If he hits home runs, no one's like, wait, did you spend 32 or 34 on him? I don't care.
You know all these nerd labs they have in these? So all the nerds that they've hired now, all these analytics guys, that's what really, when they get together for that steak dinner, you know, and at Morton's. That's what they're talking about. Did you see the deal that so-and-so got? Oh, isn't that a great deal?
Hate it, Dan Ball.
Do you have a steak alternative? And also, can I see your mocktail list, please?
Seriously.
Do you have anything with a side of quinoa? I'm really looking to watch my carbs. Yeah, the two words, fellas, is organizational efficiency. That's what's been the MO for the Red Sox for a while, and it's boring, and it sucks, and it allows them to make a pretty good profit, but that is kind of what everything is colored with as they make moves.
Also, to maybe give them a little kick in the katukis, Fitzy, to get their ish together. I hadn't seen this previously. Kyle Tucker apparently is a top priority for your Toronto Blue Jays. Yes, the team that is in your division that went to the World Series. They may add themselves a very expensive Kyle Tucker, or at least
$40 million a season. You doing it?
No. I think I can spend. I want power. I want pure power. I want Schwarber or Alonso.
He's just the number one targeted free agent.
I know. His season last year, though, worries me. He was not good. Okay. I don't know what happened in Chicago, but there was definitely some sort of an injury. But is that an issue moving forward? He scares me.
I've seen numbers where he's looking to get 400.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's also what scares me. Yeah. You make a mistake at like 150 or 200 million. Okay. But you make a mistake at $500 million. Feels like a different kind of mistake.
Different
tax bracket that you're playing in. But we'll leave that one there. Excitement brewing, and unfortunately, I think you got at least 2 to 3 more weeks before the real tampering begins here in free agency. All right, Ted Johnson, are you ready?
Punch it.
All right, here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, so I've been watching these games, right? Every game I watch them usually a couple times for the breakdown show on Monday nights, and it occurred to me. I'm like, you know, what is Drake May doing that's so different that he just in the pocket. He's doing something that looks unusual, and it just finally hit me what he's doing. And I didn't know what else to call it, so I called it last night on the breakdown show. I'm calling it the Drake May skip and rip. And I don't know if you know. I put it out on socials. I put examples of it out there. Put some pictures out there. But if you notice, sometimes he jumps off his right foot, and then flings the ball right. He doesn't throw from a solid base. So he jump throws a lot of times. And the examples of the skip and rip in this past game on a 2nd-and-8 in the third quarter, a pass completed to Steph Diggs. He did the old skip and rip. About a 2nd-and-5 in the middle of the third quarter, a 7:46 mark, throws the TD pass to Travion Henderson. That was a little skip and rip, if you notice. And then on 2nd-and-20 at the end of the third quarter, 2:45, a 10-yard completion to Hunter Henry, where he literally jumps off his foot and flings the ball. The skip and rip. This is going to be Drake May's patented move right here. It just dawned on me. I'm going back to looking at a lot of games. There was a couple plays from the Miami game, a play from the Panthers game. That is what makes him, to me, in my opinion, the most aesthetically pleasing quarterback to watch. This play right here, this where he jumps off his right foot and flings it, is, to me, highlights his playmaking elite ability that he has. So Drake May, the skip and rip, start paying attention to that. It's going to be a thing. It's fun to watch.
Is that your term?
Yeah, skip it's what and I rip? Came up with.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. I think it's an evolution of, remember when he said Aaron Rodgers was like his guy? He loved Aaron Rodgers. He holds the ball. He did this. I think it's an evolution, because Aaron Rodgers has some unique mechanics or throwing style. I think it's him sort of probably taking that and doing the next generation or whatever.
Do you know what I love about it? Like, so, you know, when you're rolling out, it's easier to kind of jump because you're rolling. It's hard to, as you're rolling, stop, plant, and throw. So you can see guys would do it as they're on the move. What Drake does is he does it in the pocket, and he climbs the ladder and does it before he hits the lineman in front of him. He jumps up and throws over him.
Right.
That's what makes him different than, I think, Aaron Rodgers. He didn't really do that from the pocket.
And I think some of it, because we said early on, it almost seems like he's more comfortable throwing on the run, more comfortable throwing on the move.
No doubt.
And I wonder if it's almost like a Darwinism. Well, I'm not really that good when I throw flat-footed. I'm not as good a thrower. So why don't I always throw on the move, even when I'm in the pocket, be moving?
I bet you if you look back at a lot of his early in the season kind of overthrows, he wasn't on the move.
Right.
He was standing still probably when he did it.
So, you know? figure out a way to make it work for you. And it's the, wait, what was it? The skip and rip?
Skip and rip.
Skip and rip.
Skip and rip.
Skip and rip, baby.
Now, you know what this worries me, though? This is my whole thing with Steph Curry when he ruined a generation of shooters because everybody thought they could shoot from the logo, yeah. And you're not Steph Curry. Not every quarterback should be skipping and ripping. So every kid out there, if you're in 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, don't, like, go to your hey, Dad, No, I don't think I'm supposed to be standing on the ground when I throw. I'm supposed to jump because not everybody is Drake May.
That's right.
I'd like to believe that they're one linebacker popping them away from learning that the skip and rip is not for them. I'd like to believe that only a few are in the Drake May mold of being able to do
that. You know
why
they tell you not to leave your feet, right?
Why?
So because you can't adjust in midair. Your target. You're basically, once you leave your feet, you can't get out of the way of a hit. You're getting hit.
Remember Gunnar Olszewski used to love to do that on kick returns? And you know why he told me he did it? Protect his knees. If I'm in the air, I can never blow out my knees.
Oh, I love that. So someone's, oh my God, I would probably do the same thing.
Which I'm wondering, with Drake and May, could that be an unforeseen benefit?
Maybe.
Tom Brady tore his ACL because he was planted. Carson Palmer tore his ACL because he was, all these quarterbacks, if I'm jumping when I'm throwing, I'm never going to be planted. I can never tear my ACL.
Because you're looking downfield, you don't know what's at your feet, and you're like, maybe there's someone at my feet, I got to jump.
Just jump, and they can't blow my knee out.
That's probably a subconscious reaction to
Could be.
Yeah.
Worked for Gunner, works for Drake.
Yeah.
The skip and rip, or as Andy just called it, the Drake and May. We love it here. love it. Just want to make sure that was highlighted. All right, Andy, you wanted to go last, but certainly not least, so that is why you are up now here on the 3-point stance. You still get 60 seconds. Are you ready?
I am, and Stiz has my audio ready to go now.
All right,
it's kids' day here at the Garden. How do you balance pushing players to improve while also keeping the game fun for them?
I struggle with that. Fun's a cop-out sometimes. So as you get older, kid, don't use it, you know? It's like, I just want to have fun. It's like, well, what does that mean? So, you know, you just got to define that. It's a good question. I struggle with that.
Thank you.
Yep.
Oh,
most people think I was going to rip Joe Mazzulla here. Stiz in my ear said, you're going to rip Mazzulla. Nope. Because we must be hardos of a feather. I could not agree more. Have fun. What is fun? You know what fun is? Success, getting better, improvement, seeing your work pay off, and winning. It's not okay, and I understand it, but I'm done in my youth sports coaching career. I used to always tell kids, yeah, we're going to have fun. Your parents like when I say we're going to have fun. You know what's fun? Winning is fun, and they all agree. I learned at the lowest of levels in those leagues in baseball where you don't keep score. Kids were keeping score. Mm-hmm. Coach, they're killing us. How do you know? Scoreboard's not on. Because I know, Coach, you've been paying attention. At the lowest level, people know what competition is. Winning is fun. So this whole idea that making sure everybody has fun is so hard. And you know the best way to control it? The way Mike Vrabel has done it. You know why the Patriots are having fun? They're 9-2. They've won 8 in a row. They're the best team in football. They're blowing teams out. They're succeeding every week. Success brings fun. It's really hard to have fun when you're not succeeding.
Man, you and Mazzulla must be super fun at parties.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
How do you have fun without success, Ted?
Well, the kid sounded like he's 8 years old. You want those kids to kind of like, you don't want to be miserable with going to practice.
I know. And that's why Mazzulla didn't answer it that way. He said, I struggle with that. He never really actually said anything. I struggle with that. Yeah. It's a hard question.
I wasn't really sure what he said. Actually.
He didn't, because I think he wanted to say winning is fun.
Yeah.
But he can't be the jackass who tells a little kid winning is fun.
Because that's me. You try to tell a young, athlete, I don't know, maybe you tell Jackson, hey, it's not about fun, maybe, you know, go out there and win, kid. But to calm your kid's nerves down, you tell them to have fun. That's just kind of a thing a parent tells, because you're worried that they're worried and they're stressed about their performance. And so one way to get them to relax is, hey, at the end of the day, remember, this is supposed to be fun.
Right. But what I've always told, and I think Mazzulla probably does this, you do need to enjoy the work. Like, if you don't enjoy going to practice, enjoy putting in
work.
That's
something different.
Right. If you don't enjoy that, then you're probably in the wrong sport,
that's
the wrong business.
That's something very different, though.
Because I always told my son that growing up. When you decide what sport you really want to play, it's the one you like to practice the most, or at the very least, hate practice. If you hate practice.
I would say the one that you probably are the best at naturally.
And there's some truth to that.
That happens too,
but if you hate practice, it's hard to continue going to practice. And if you're not in the right mindset in practice, you're probably not going to get better.
No, yeah. That's bottom line, you got to accept the grind of it.
Right.
Andy, you mentioned the whole youth sports thing, and just having wrapped up another flag football coaching season, The kids were intermittently awesome and awful all season long because, you know, they're 12 and 13 years old, which, as you probably remember, is a very difficult age to coach. And they just kept saying, like, you know, like, we just want to have fun. Like, let's just make it fun. So you throw away the playbook and you go recess style, and then you get some success. And then you go up against a team that's really good and well-coached and coordinated. And guess what happens?
You lose. Smoked.
And No, we did. We lost in the championship, and then everybody was sad. And it was like, oh, guys, if I can just, like, that Missoula thing resonated with me all weekend when I saw it again yesterday. Like, it's actually very relevant to coaching, to sports. It's probably my favorite thing I think I've ever heard him say before.
Stuff gets me excited.
It also ties into our discussion with Drake May yesterday here on a Patriots Monday when he talked about kids playing as many sports as possible. Yep. Yes, it's about skills and injuries and all the – it's also about, you know what, don't get burnt out. Play some sport for 3 months and then go play a different sport with a different coach where you can have a different sort of joy and fun. Now, you can't do that forever. Like Joe Mazzulla and Jason Tatum, they play basketball year-round. That's literally their job, right? They don't get to go play football or baseball in the spring to take their mind off of basketball. But I appreciated Joe Mazzulla's honesty. I think having fun in sports it's a tough, weird... You mentioned Pete Carroll used to say something to
him. Oh, that's all he would say. You know, let's go win because it's fun. Yeah, you know, it is, Pete. I got you, bro.
Oh, you never had a losing record under Pete Carroll?
No, we were heading that way, you know, 11. Well,
yeah, they got him out before you could have a losing record. 11-5,
it's still one of the
most interesting preemptive strikes in, like, coaching history, Ted.
Yeah. Yeah,
you didn't lose until Bill got here in 2000.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Facts, not opinions.
Nope. There's a guy who knows his way around fun.
Then 2001, yeah, things turned around.
So true.
Those guys also, like, you know, those guys also.
You know what fun is?
Yeah. It's interesting he says that to a kid because, you know, the adults, like the professionals, they get paid to come back. So whether it's fun or not, yeah, try to have some fun when you do it, Coach Mazzulla. But also millions of dollars will help. Whereas, like, kids in intramural programs, high school, you know, even your son, Andy, like, yeah, fun's one thing, but, like, you're still trying to find ways to convince them to come back and do the same thing again and want to do it with their friends. That's where the fun comes in.
Absolutely. All right, boys, nice job on the 3-point stances today. Thanks, Coach. up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's Tuesday. It's 3:30. It means it's time for a TED Talk. We got some leftover notes from the Patriots' big win, their 9-2 record. We got the skip and rip. We got the skip and rip out of the way, but we have time for naps and other aspects of the Patriots' success. That's up next with a TED Talk here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Guy.
Oh, I haven't sent you guys this.
I would have never guessed that this was Pearl Jam. This is definitely a different feel.
Ted's cultured.
You know this song?
Nope.
Hold on, it's coming right here. Right here.
Even flow walks around like butterflies.
There you go.
I think you know it if you heard the original.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought I knew, once you said the name.
Even Flow.
I thought I knew that, but this doesn't sound what I thought I knew.
Yeah, no, it doesn't at all.
Okay.
But if you know Pearl Jam and are a real Pearl Jam fan, you know it right away.
It's a funkadelic cover. Like, that's like you're down at Mardi Gras. Love it.
I like that, man.
I told you, the only Pearl Jam, I love the Lost My Baby Tonight song, the car accident song.
Oh, where can my baby be?
That's one of my favorite songs,
took her away from me. Yeah, yep. Man. Mm.
All right, we heard Pearl Jam. That means, well, it's time for a TED Talk, apparently.
It's time for a TED Talk.
In a pothole that time in the form of Ted Johnson.
This was a disappointing play. Patriots had momentum.
From three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
This guy is one of the best inside linebackers in football.
It's like playing hide-and-go-seek with the football. The snap of the ball, said hike.
On WEEI Afternoons.
And as always, the TED Talk is brought to you by Boston Prolotherapy. If joint pain has you riding the bench, do what Ted did. Eliminate your joint pain with Dr. Franke of Boston Prolotherapy online at bostonprolotherapy.com.
When you see Al, tell him I said hi. His office is in Stoneham. They moved to Stoneham. So if you want a free consultation, he will give you one. And if he can't help you, Al will send you in the direction that you need to go to get the help you need.
Okay, so I've told everyone you take copious notes on Patriots games, lots of notes in your notebook.
Yep.
So much so that you were able to do a TED Talk on Friday, the day after the game, and you did your breakdown show last night, and you still have more to share with the audience. So let's kick things off with some good vibe talk. That was offsides on the defense there if you didn't false start on them. Well, good vibes, Ted.
Yeah, so a lot of talk about kind of what Vrabel, how much guys enjoy going to work. The Patriots are what? They won 8 in a row.
Yeah.
And just there's a lot of just kind of anecdotes about how fun it is to go to work. I don't know if you guys remember the last time the Patriots won 8 in a row, but if you can't remember, maybe this little soundbite here from Al Michaels back in 2019 will help you remember.
I think the most revealing thing we heard from Tom is when we went in for the midseason game in Baltimore and on a Sunday night, early November, and they were undefeated. And we were talking to Brady, and Brady said to us, "I'm the most unhappy 8-0 quarterback in football."
That's not going on here anymore. Nobody's miserable. Everybody's enjoying going to work. So the good vibes are. It's a totally different way in which to skin the cat, I guess you would say.
Yep.
And so this is Mike's doing it his way. There's no Patriot way. All that stuff. It's Mike's way. Totally. You agree or disagree?
No, I definitely agree. And I think we've talked a little bit about it's a more modern way. I do think there is evolutional changes in everything, and you know, your audience changes,
yeah,
right? Like, you can't treat the 2025 football player like you treated the 1996 football player.
No, you can.
Well, I mean, I guess you can.
You can.
I don't think it'll work.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, Parcells used to always say, and Bill Belichick, I think he stole this from Parcells. He's like, I remember he used to always say, "Boys, listen, okay, I'm not changing for you. You better change for me." That's how he would say it.
So, and that's why he stinks at North Carolina.
Well, that was it, man. I ain't changing for you. You're changing for me. So there
Can
you go.
Can you imagine saying that to young athletes? Yeah. I'm not changing for you. You're doing everything my way. All right, Stiz.
Hit it.
Travion Henderson. I came to the realization, Ted, before you met, he scored 5 touchdowns in 5 days.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It's absolutely ridiculous, but thoughts on
that. What did you think of his game, this past game?
I loved it. I know statistically he wasn't what I want him to be. I think he should be a high 4 yards per carry running back.
Yep.
And then I watched that game and said, well, he's squaring his shoulders, he's lowering his shoulders, he's moving the pile, he's scoring touchdowns. I don't need the fancy runs if you're going to run like that. Sometimes I might need that, so I loved it.
Oh, Andy, that's a tremendous, tremendous answer. So let me give you a little – so if you look at Travion Henderson last week against the Buccaneers, 14 carries, 147 yards for 10.5-yard average per carry, 2 touchdowns against the Buccaneers. Last game against the Jets, 19 carries, 62 yards, an average of 3.2, and two touchdowns. But I would argue he had a better game.
Agreed.
This last game. Mm-hmm. According to Next Gen Stats, Travion Henderson gained more rushing yards against the Jets after contact, 70, than total rushing yards, 62, in his 3 touchdown performance against the Jets. Henderson forced a career-high 9 missed tackles across 24 touches, and while playing 90% of the offensive snaps, he was a beast in this game. His yards were hard fought. He made guys miss. I thought he was excellent in blitz pickup, and I thought he played an all around really, really good game. So 90% of the snaps, by far the biggest workload he's had. It's going to be interesting if Ramondre comes back this week, how they divvy it up. But I thought this last game, even though the numbers might not suggest, to me, it was his best game so far this year.
And two parts of that, it was necessary
because you really don't have anybody else, right? You're without Ramondre. So you needed him to be that. And we weren't sure he was that, right? Like, the scouting report was kind of, oh, give him tosses, get him the ball in space, he'll make plays in space, he'll make... Well, he also proved for at least one night he can lower his shoulders. And I thought the one of the more interesting runs was to close out the game with the first down. You get that first down there, and you go into victory formation. He got low, he got the yards he needed, and you get to go in victory formation.
It was a tough first down.
Yes.
Really
so,
tough.
Huge.
Yep. I agree. I'm ready.
Okay, so Drake May
yes.
versus man, Drake May versus zone, the last one. What do you think?
He's great against both.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, if you weren't sure, basically anything you throw at him, but I was looking for the stats. He was like 19 of 24, 222 yards and a touchdown against zone. If you play zone against him, I mean, why do teams play zone against him?
So my eyes are on him when he runs.
Oh, man, you are just on it today because – they want to be able to see where he goes when he does leave the pocket. And so what he does when they play zone is he never leaves the pocket. And he just picks you apart in zone. Mm-hmm. And the obviously Steph Diggs is his number one guy right there. So zone, man-to-man, it doesn't really matter. But if you're going to play zone against him, do it your own peril because he will pick you apart with his arm.
Where does that patience come from, Ted? Because he's a young guy, and you think, like, young guys – always have that, you know, like big kick energy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's not looking for the home run every play. He's being patient.
He is. Yeah, absolutely. And part of it is if he's not feeling pass rush. So if you're not going to blitz him, you know, then you give him a little bit more time. I think the best team to kind of keep him somewhat contained, I think it was the Bucs 2 weeks ago, or was it the Browns before, where they rushed five. I think it was maybe the Browns, where they rushed five guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a crush rush.
Yep.
And they just, so every, he didn't have any the A or B gaps, C gaps. He couldn't escape in the middle, and they made sure to press from the outside so he couldn't escape outside. And then you take your chances with six guys in coverage. And I think that's probably the best way to do it, is to keep them in the pocket by rushing five, not six and not four, but five. And that's probably if I was a D coordinator, that was how I'd game plan for him. That to me is the best way to keep him kind of in the pocket.
I definitely would take away the middle. And I know you can't take away everything. He seems to love those little quick runs up the middle where he can pick up like 8-10 yards, maybe move the sticks and get a slide in. And he's good on the outside too. Sometimes when he rolls out, he's going to throw on the run. So he's reached that point where, yes, as a defensive coordinator, you're kind of picking your poison, right? You know he does a lot of things well, and he is proving to be able to adjust to the adjustments.
And I might have talked about this play. I'm sure the Travion Henderson play. That was to design that play. Mm-hmm. I give Josh McDaniels. Everybody's talking about the red zone offense. Red zone offense. They're 18th in the NFL in red zone offense. But the last couple of weeks, they've come up with some really creative plays against man-to-man teams that play man-to-man in the red zone. Most teams do, but that touchdown to Travion Henderson, Josh McDaniels, chef kiss, buddy.
All right, so lots of positivity in those first 3 points. Are there some concerns you still have about this football team?
Yeah. Let's just talk about the red zone. I just mentioned it. Offense, 18th in the NFL in offensive red zone at 58%. They got to get better. You got to be top 10. And then the defense, please. I just feel like this is going to rear its ugly head. And, you know, they had the Jets had a 22-yard touchdown. If you remember, Craig Woodson fell down on a blitz.
Yes.
They were on the 22-yard line, so it doesn't count as a red zone score. But theoretically, that was another red zone touchdown.
Right.
So the defense in the red zone sucks. And you can't tell me you're going to be a good team and have a – so, you know, teams are going to get down to the red zone in the playoffs. And if you can't keep them out, and they're basically – at 75% right now. So if you get to the red zone and you're an offense, you're going to score 75% of the time. That's by far the worst.
And your guy Vrabes has started to, I won't say belabor that point, but if you listen to a lot of his answers that are sometimes about other things, he brings it back to red zone defense. He's like, we got to be able to stop people. We got to be able to force field goals.
That's good, because I haven't heard him say that, really.
He has.
Okay.
This week, I've noticed it.
Oh, good.
Maya started on the Greg Hill show and then went into yesterday's press conference. Whatever it was, he has started. Even the answer, he keeps getting questions about the first drive. He turned it into a red zone thing. I don't really care about a drive, but what we need to do is when they get down there and scoring opportunities, we've got to make them kick. Yeah. We can't be giving up touchdowns.
Yep.
So he's continued to talk about that.
Okay.
All right, and finally, the 50-yard plays, not 20-yard plays. Those are explosive. So how about the triple X 50-yard plays?
Hey, get this. This is a stat nug of all stat nugs. You ready?
Yeah.
The Patriots are number one in plays of 50 or more yards.
Yes.
All right, they have seven of them
yes.
so far. And of those seven, so through 11 games, the Patriots have seven plays of 50 or more yards. Four of those have gone for touchdowns. Okay, got it? Through 11 games, seven plays, 50 yards or more, four of them went for touchdowns. During the Tom Brady era, between 2001 and 2019, the most 50-yard plays through 11 games that Tom ever had was four, where three of them went for touchdowns. Think about that.
So you're better than any or more explosive in triple X plays than anything Tom Brady ever did.
Golly. Through 11 games.
Woo! Even 2000, games. Was that in 2007? I feel like that season was explosive.
Through 2001 to 2019. So,
yeah.
All those years he was the quarterback here, never once through 11 games did he have
saying it again.
More than four plays of 50 yards more through the first 11 games.
Tom, who? Take that statue down. Change the head, change the number. It'll be a quick do-over. We got a right-handed quarterback, different face, different number, but the success is there. Thank you for inviting us to your TED Talk. Appreciate it. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. We see you lining up. And we're also going to look at this thing that keeps popping up, the strength of schedule for the Patriots, comparing it to the other teams in the AFC. I think Cam Newton, when he called him fool's gold and was taking shots at him, everybody points to strength of schedule. We'll do a little look at the strength of schedule for the Patriots compared to the rest of the AFC next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
WEEI Afternoons. That's a great song right there, Ted Johnson. Although somebody on the text line was like, they didn't even sing it. It's a remake or whatever.
I think it is a cover. So
it is. And I went back and listened to the original, and it stinks.
So is Tracy Chapman's
right.
Fast Car. Like,
no, that I don't think that is. Tracy wrote
the original.
That.
No,
Tracy's
not.
The original.
Is
you sure? I'm pretty
positive?
Sure.
Are you
yeah,
sure?
I'm pretty positive.
Okay. Am I right, Jackson? Thumbs up. Oh, I'm wrong? Okay, Sue.
He just gave you the slash sign. Nope, right. Nope. Right. Ixnay on the right A.
All right. Jackson is the judge. He says I'm wrong. I'm wrong.
But that's a good song. We do need to talk about strength of schedule, strength of victory, if you want. That's also another thing that compares teams statistically.
This is crazy. We become a college football
yes.
like station because yes. we're trying to validate their 9-2 right. record all the time.
Margins of victory
yeah.
and best
strength
win
schedule.
And best this and power fives. And so the strength, just so everybody knows, right now the Denver Broncos are the one seed. Their strength of victory is 357. So the combined winning percentage of the teams they have beaten is 357. The Patriots is 359. The Colts is 361.
Yeah.
What do those all have in common?
Yeah, they're all
like,
the same.
Yeah, 4/1000ths of a point. In fact, Ted, I don't know if this matters if you choose to acknowledge this.
But you're just looking at one metric now.
Yeah, one. Yeah. And we can look at others.
Yeah.
The combined wins of the teams you have beaten.
Yeah.
You know who has the most of those?
Who?
The Patriots. Mm. 33 combined wins of the teams they have beaten, followed by Denver at 32.5.
Oh, that's interesting. See?
Then Indianapolis at 30, Pittsburgh 28, Buffalo's at 30.
Still, it just it amplifies the narrowness of
yeah.
it all.
So it doesn't really matter. Like, does one, did I convince you because it was 33 to 32.5 that it really matters? Like, don't you watch the games and say,
yeah.
oh, I think this team's good at this, bad at
I
that?
I got a better metric that might give you.
Bring your metric.
It's the DVOA metric.
You and your DVOA.
Did you swallow
a computer at a young age?
It's just, you know, I just think there's something to it. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
He had a chip implanted during one of his surgeries.
The worst 9-2 teams by DVOA, 2025 New England Patriots at 9-2 are -2.8 DVOA, ranking them. If you just go, if the Super Bowl winner went to the number one team that had the DVOA, it'd be the Seattle Seahawks would be your Super Bowl champs. And right. The runner-up would be the Los Angeles Rams. The number one and the number two DVOA teams played this weekend. And it was a narrow win by the Rams, two-point win, in which the quarterback for the Seahawks threw four interceptions. So to think that the Rams are better than the Seahawks, I think you're crazy. I just don't think Sam Darnold's going to have a game like that again. And I think the Seahawks, if they were to play again, would beat the Rams.
So can I ask you to do a little research project since you're the expert in DVOA? Have you ever looked at like Super Bowl champions and Super Bowl loot, like the Super Bowl competitors and where they ranked in those seasons in DVOA? Is that something that you would be able to find? Not for right now. I mean, later in the week or something. Because I do wonder if you're in like the top five in DVOA, do most of those teams go to the Super Bowl in any given year kind of thing or the correlation?
I'd have to look that up.
Okay.
Can you guess what Super Bowl winning team had the worst DVOA? Oh, and it's not obvious. But what year did the Patriots win a Super Bowl but had the worst DVOA at 9-2?
The 2018.
Okay, Fitzy, any guess over there? Anybody else want to guess?
Yeah, I got nothing.
So think of a team that was just kind of hanging on, like just you won games close. Always winning close, always close wins.
04?
No, that was 03.
03.
The 03 Patriots always.
Oh, they started 2-2.
We would go into we went on the 21-game win streak.
Yeah.
Over the two seasons.
Just a quick aside to Rich Keefe. They were asking for your worst sports takes in history. After the 2-2 start at Washington, I believe you guys lost, and you guys were all banged up. I said you guys were too injured. You'd never win anything. Time to start thinking about the 2004. And you guys
the draft.
You guys never lost again. I literally said that, and
this
you never lost
superpower,
again.
Andy.
You went 21 straight games without losing.
You're
after
good
that.
At being wrong, bro. You're so good at being wrong.
Whatever he says, the opposite happens, and oftentimes for long stretches.
So you are a big believer in the DVOA.
Well, I think it's a valuable metric.
Because the only thing I questioned on that is I believe, and I don't know if it was DVOA, Fitzy, you remember this? The 2021 Patriots were darlings of the computers, the analytics. They started running in like November. Yes. They were running simulations in which teams are going to the Super Bowl, and the Patriots were in like every simulation.
If they played as expected. No, but the problem was all of the models, the USA Today's, the Aaron Schatz's and everyone, and the outsiders, insiders, PFFs, none of them accounted for the gravitationally shocking crash back to earth that team actually experienced after their bye week.
Another way to put it, so I'm looking at all the teams that had the worst DVOAs that were 9-2 after 11 games. Okay, there's only one team that was worse, and they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like 12 teams, and the Patriots are the second worst. The only team that had a worse DVOA at 9-2 was the 2022 Minnesota Vikings.
Mm.
Otherwise, the Patriots have the worst DVOA of the next 12 teams that were 9-2.
So they're the worst paper champion of 9-2 teams, according to
this one metric.
We'll see. We can look back at this and see how the season plays out, how the playoffs play out. If they go to the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, then we'll say, screw your numbers,
and
right?
Just another thing, the teams with the easiest schedule remaining. The Bills have an easier schedule, but barely. And the Patriots, the Ravens, the Jags, the Chargers, the Colts. So those are the teams that have the easiest schedules that are playoff contenders still playing.
So see you in Santa Clara. So we go from one thing Ted loves, DVOA, to another topic Ted loves to talk about. Bill Belichick, he's issuing statements, pulling himself from consideration from jobs that he may or may not have been in consideration for. Bill Belichick, Jordan, and whatever the heck is going on at North Carolina. Oh, Bill, that timeout you called, that hurt your team too. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're speaking my language with DVOA.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.